this morning. Christ is our firm foundation, amen. The rock on which we stand. Woo! Oh, let's declare this together. The rain came, the wind blew.
I don't know if that was obvious or not. I think it's interesting how humor, there's so many things obvious. I love the one that it's your seat. How many of you right now, let's just state the obvious. How many lost their seat this morning? Yep. That's good. Well, obviously, it's your seat. What's up? What's up with that? Well, it's exciting that you're here today. We're honored that you're in church with us today. We know this. You could choose any church that you want. This is a free country, but we are glad that you've chosen to join us. If you're a visitor, we're honored that you're here. We hope that you go to the Connection Center and help us get to know you better. We truly believe circles are better than rows, so if you're not part of a group, we would love for you to get involved if you can at all. I say we've been looking at this series, well, obviously, and it's a study of Proverbs, but it's really just this, it's a conversation about wisdom. It's a conversation about life. And so if you were here last week, you realize that we talked about how wisdom is applied to some of the complexities in life, and they make them so simple. You know, we determine what wisdom is, simple and obvious, and it was obvious to those who, remember, asked, those who actually listened, and those who actually pursued or got in a community of people who could give wisdom. And today, we're going to break down this idea of parenting. And now, some of you guys in the house today are like, I'm not a parent, but I want you to know you're all children. Right? If you're not a child, raise your hand. Okay, great. I'm glad nobody raised their hand. We are all children, and so we can actually listen to this parenting concept, this idea, and ask ourselves, hey, are some of the truths that I should have been taught or was taught, are they real in my life today? So let's first answer some obvious facts about parenting. I think all of us would agree that the family is under attack. Would you agree? Say amen. Absolutely. Obviously, many are experiencing the complexities of relationships in family to the point of actually to destruction. We're seeing the family being torn apart in so many ways. Obviously, many will find themselves overlooking these complexities and even trying to pretend they don't exist. And really, we're sweeping them under the rug because they're so complex, they're so difficult, we don't really even have the answers in our lives to solve them. You see, our church is, and our families are out of order, out of balance, out of touch in the world today. And it's really obvious. Nobody is wondering, man, I just really didn't see that families were struggling. I didn't really see that. No, it's clear and it's obvious to us today. Now, many of you in this church and many of us in life, what I'm going to talk about today may become a little stressful. It might even be a little offensive. You might think I'm picking on you, and I want you to know something. I'm really, truly not. My desire is not for you to leave here depressed and discouraged. My desire is for you to leave here with hope. Because just so you know, although we're going to talk about traditional family, we're going to talk about what it looks like and what it should be. If your family doesn't look like that, obviously, God is not done with you yet. Obviously, his grace is sufficient. And obviously, what is normal in God's view of what is perfect in his holiness is not always what plays out. And we know this, that God uses the broken. Amen? Amen. So listen, the perfect family. Let's talk a little about it. Because philosophies of the world have kind of taken over and redefined the family. Matter of fact, we have whole television shows like The Modern Family. It's called The Modern Foolishness. That should be the new name. If we were to read Proverbs, that's what it would say. But The Modern Family is how the world has had to deal with the complexities of their decisions. In other words, the more I don't follow what is right and true, the more I have to make adjustments for every quirk and every strange thing that is allowed and tolerated in the world. And so I'm going to define the perfect family. And again, I don't want you to be offended. I just want you to listen, because just like we as Christians, our goal is to be holy with Christ. In other words, we're going to be as Christ-like as possible. And as difficult and as impossible as that is, we can beat ourselves up and say, man, I'll never be like Christ. Or we can just graciously ask for forgiveness in our pursuit to be like Christ. And that is exactly what this definition is going to describe. So let's define. The perfect family is defined as this. It is made up of a biological man and a biological woman. Let's start there. Who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who love and respect each other and others as they would love themselves. This is the perfect family. One who produces children within the union of marriage, who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who love and respect and honor their parents, their siblings, and others as they love themselves. So when we talk about family, the perfect family, the image in which Christ created the family, this is what it is. Now, again, I do not want you to be discouraged if this does not describe your family. I just want you to know God's greatest picture is for God's greatest success. You see, a society that holds true to this definition, a society that grabs this definition and holds to it, is a society that will find the greatest prosperity, the greatest compassion, the greatest generosity, the greatest unity, and the greatest peace. Because God designed it that way. And God's design is never wrong. And so when we stop emphasizing that this is the best option, this is what we should celebrate, we start to find ourselves going into chaos. You see, to the wise, this is obvious. To the wise family, this is the goal. To the wise family, this is what we prioritize, we fight for, what is sacrificed for, this idea of the family. Obviously, families in our world are far from here, and they have been, again, so confused with complexity, drawing us away from wisdom, drawing away from the obvious, and leading Christian families down this same destruction, just so you know. This destruction, this complexity is not just outside in the world. It is filtering itself into the church because the philosophies of the world are fighting against us well. You see, God's wisdom warns his people of the consequences of ignoring the obvious and rejecting wisdom when it comes to the family. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I want you to listen to this. A lack of wisdom. Because you have rejected knowledge, wisdom, I reject you from being a priest to me. This is God speaking to his people, is the Jewish nation. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget you. I will also punish you. No. I will forget your children. I want you to understand something, that our lives are so tied to parenting, so tied to the family, that our decisions impact generations and generations to come. See, our failures as parents to seek wisdom is a curse on our children and a curse on our nation. We wonder why we're struggling. It's not the kids' fault. Let me say that again. It's not the kids' fault. It's parents' fault. It's our fault. It's the church's fault. We fail to take responsibility because it's so easy to blame children. Well, they're just rebellious, or they just don't listen, or they, or they, or they. And this next generation, the Gen Y, Z, I don't even know what generation we're on, though. I can't keep up with all the letters. It's their fault. Or it's the greatest, you know, this is what we do. We say we're the greatest generation, although I'm not part of that group. I think I'm an X, Y, or Z. I'm an X. The point is this. Everyone likes to pass blame, and rarely the parents want to take responsibility. And today I want to challenge you in that world. I want you to listen carefully. Some of you are thinking, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to me. Some of you are thinking, you know what? I don't really truly believe that parents are the problem. I just want to encourage you to rethink that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to this passage that describes the last days. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we feel and we think that somehow in our minds that we can just forget our responsibilities as parents, not train up and teach a generation to parent well, if we think we can just slowly lax ourselves away from what God's plan is and somehow we're going to end up being okay, I want you to know that we're fools. Obviously, that's a lie. Obviously, no one wants to state that because it's offensive. It means that you and I have failed as parents, maybe. Maybe it means something that we just don't want to admit. But the truth is this, in this world and in this place, it's time for God's people to recognize the obvious. Let's read this account. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Let me tell you, that's not a description of an Old Testament situation. That's a description of today. That's a description of the future. That's a description of the religious family, the church-going family, the one who comes maybe every Sunday. Why do I say that? Notice it says they have the appearance of godliness. Obviously, something is and will continue to go horribly wrong if our families continue to close their eyes to wisdom's call. Why? Because the religious group, the people who think they have just enough God to understand God, are going to produce children like this, people like this. We need to stop kidding ourselves and pretending that it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. Remember, wisdom from last week is the ability to discern and understand the knowledge of God and apply it to life. Wisdom is the ability to discern and understand the knowledge of God and apply it to our life in every area. And there, I believe, is no greater area than in the world of parenting. Because in the world of parenting, that is what our future is held on to. Our future is held on our ability to parent and raise God-fearing children. In the last days, religious families will produce children who love themselves to their own demise. I'm going to read this quickly. Who love money more than morality, who will stand proud and arrogant, boasting in foolish and in the ignorant. In the last days, religious families will produce children who are abusive physically, emotionally, and sexually, who will disobey parents and reject authority, who will spit in the face of the sacrifice of others. That is what will happen. In the last days, religious families will produce children who will embrace what is unholy and reject what is holy, who will produce a generation of children who will be heartless, lacking in affection. Their enemies will be devalued and canceled with no compassion or empathy. This is how the religious children will treat others. In the last days, religious families will produce children who are unappeasable, unreasonable, difficult to satisfy or console. They will rise up a generation of slanderers who will retaliate with destructive words for the purpose of deeming others useless. There will rise a generation of children who will lack self-control, who were never taught responsibility or ability to self-govern their lives. In the last day, religious families will produce children who are brutal, who have no respect for life, liberty, or personal property. They will demand their way and force their ideology on others. They will despise truth and justice. They will redefine what is right and wrong. In the last days, religious families will produce children who will betray their own family, community, and country. They will say whatever is necessary to gain influence. They will be traitors of their faith. We could go on and on and on. Why have I started so negatively? I need you to understand the imperativeness and the importance of what I'm going to talk about today. I need you to grasp the concept that we have got to stop having our head in the sand and start recognize the value and the importance of parents. We as a church need to love, support, and encourage parenting. Because if we just ignore it, if we look at a situation and it's ugly and we just walk away and say, oh, those crazy parents, they don't know what they're doing, and we have nothing to add or nothing to help, then we're just destroying our own future. You see, in the last days, this will be what the family of religious will produce, because they will be and they will buy into the complexities and the lies and ignore simple wisdom. So obviously, no one in this room thinks, oh, I can't wait to raise children like this. Right? I mean, there's no one in this room saying, oh, I cannot wait to create a rebellious child. Let's get to it. Nobody's thinking that. As a matter of fact, everybody has that precious little baby. Like I said, I got 10 of those grandkids, and I'm so excited to hold them, and I'm thinking, oh, this kid's gonna grow up to be amazing. World changer. Right? That's what we think. And yet, oftentimes, we ignore the obvious when it comes to raising them. You see, the answers are simple, and the answers are available. The question is, will you heed wisdom's call? Now, the first obvious answer to a successful family and great parenting is a great loving relationship between a man and a woman who love God and are pursuing everything about God. And all that is true. And we're going to talk about that next week. So we're not going there. Man, next week you're not going to want to miss it. I'm going to be saying some simple things that will revolutionize your marriage. You're going to be blown away at such simple things that I promise you will instantly change the future of your marriage. But today, we're going to jump and talk about parenting. And so, the second most important thing when we're talking about parenting is this: we must parent with an infinite and eternal mindset. You need to write this down if you're a parent. If you're not parenting with an eternal and infinite mindset, you are missing the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish with a parent. One that has the behavioral end in mind of their children, the spiritual end in mind of their children, or the legacy of their children. If you don't have this mindset, I want to encourage you, it's a simple truth. You can change the way you parent immediately if you take this mindset. As believers, this should be what we do. Too many parents miss out on this obvious truth. We are eternal beings, listen, who will go into eternal punishment or eternal life, and the one or the other is the truth on existence. We can't deny that this is not all there is. Praise the Lord, this life is not all there is. Amen? People who think, hey, I just die and it's over, how sad. Like, that's terrible. Like, I can't wait to experience something greater, something godly. See, Ecclesiastes 12:7 says this, and the dust returns to the earth, speaking of us, as it was. Our dead bodies, guess what? We become dirt. I know it's kind of gory, but you do. However, the spirit returns to the God who gave it. The spirit returns to the God who gave it and will give an account of the dust. You see, our today, our present defines our past, which changes our future. We are going to be eternal. We are eternal. And we must parent from that perspective. When we fail to prioritize the eternal in our parenting, we lose sight. Matter of fact, we get frustrated. As a matter of fact, it's so complicated, like I just can't do it anymore. Well, that's because you're trying to get immediate performance instead of thinking eternally in mind. Obviously, we don't simply parent for the here and now, we parent for tomorrow. We will come and go. By the way, your life is a vapor. If you thought you were God, a few minutes down the road, you're gonna figure out you're not. If you thought you had it all together, guess what? Life ends quickly. We have been experiencing passings and passings and passings. Ed Austin just went to be with the Lord just this morning, I believe. You don't last forever. If we don't have an eternal mindset involved when it comes to parenting, we are going to completely miss out on everything God would have for us. This is why we walk, parents, in integrity. So when you think about the easy, the obvious, it is that you are eternal. But what does that mean? This means we walk in integrity. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 says this. The righteous who walks in integrity is blessed. Blessed are his children after him. You see, when we have an eternal mindset, we as parents choose to walk in integrity because our children after us receive the reward of what that looks like. When we don't walk in integrity, guess what? Our children don't walk in integrity, and guess what? Their lives end up in a mess. This is why we discipline our children. And I know a lot of you wanted me to spend a lot of time here, and I'm not gonna do it. But I'm gonna read enough. It'll be all you can handle. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 says this, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Let me say that again. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. We don't discipline our children because certainly we don't hate our future. I mean, when you say, hey, I'm not going to discipline my child, you're not thinking the obvious, oh, I just hate my future. Or you hate their future. No, you think in your mind, well, I don't want to discipline them because I want them to have a great future. Well, guess what? If you don't discipline, you actually hate their future. Proverbs 19:18 says this, discipline your child and while there is hope. By the way, because when they get old like me, there is no hope. No hope. My wife was trying to correct me last night. Teach me how to spell some word. I said, there's no hope. Don't do it. I don't care. I'm so sick of there, and there. I don't know which there. I just start typing whatever one comes out. Just don't care. That's why we discipline our children when there is hope. I wish I would have been. When we fail discipline, we cause death in the future, death in their relationships, death in their careers, death to addictions, and actually even physical death. Amen. You need to understand this. Discipline is important. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your child, and it will bring you peace of mind and a gift and give you delight. Why will it give you delight? Because your child will turn out better. Stop believing the lie. Loving discipline, by the way, loving discipline brings life, peace, and joy. not hate and strife, not asking you to be angry and beat your child out of control. That's foolishness. It's called abuse. But disciplining your child because you love them, because your desire is to change behavior, is good, healthy, and right, and true, and wise. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself, a child who has to figure out discipline on his own, what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I shouldn't, because my parents don't discipline me, brings shame to his mother. This is why we parent. This is why it's important. This is why we think about the future. Not only do we think of the future because we walk in integrity, not only do we think of our future because we discipline our children, we also we think of the future because as a parent, we must fear the Lord. We must fear the Lord. We think eternally. That's what the fear of the Lord is, by the way. The reason why we live in the fear of the Lord is because we know we're going to give an account. This is important. When you say, hey, I think infinitely, you then are declaring that you must fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence. And notice this, and his children will have refuge. You want to have safety in being a parent or your children to have safety? It's not allowing them to live with you until they're 30. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about when you fear the Lord, when you teach the fear of the Lord, when you lay it on their hearts, guess what? You will create a son, a daughter, who will have refuge, who will have protection. Obviously, if we live in integrity, we will produce a legacy of integrity. If we discipline in love, we grant our life a peace for generations. When we fear the Lord, we establish safety and security that is based on the experience of life. We make the complex simple when we have the eternal and the infinite in mind. It just is what happens. But again, most parents and most kids are so overwhelmed with the things that do not matter, their lives are chaos. They're absolutely chaos. Proverbs 24:14 says this, you know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and a hope will not be cut off. Your future and your hope will not be cut off. Parents, listen to me. Be wise. Be wise. Have an infinite mindset, an eternal mindset when you parent your children. It's fundamental. If you don't think of what you want your children to be in the future, you will never do what you need today to make it happen. But it doesn't just end there. What else is obvious? Parenting requires us to take responsibility. You're the parent. Let me say that again. You're the parent. Now, you're like, Pastor Ron, that is so obvious. Is it now? Is it obvious that you're the parent? It's not the school district. It's not your child's teacher. It's not the state. It's not your neighbor. It's not your parents. It's not your relatives. It's not your youth pastor. It's not me. You. You have the responsibility to be God's image bearer for your children. You. Stop shucking your responsibility. It's obvious. It's obvious. You are responsible for everything that your children, listen to me, learn, listen to, are exposed to, and you will be accountable for who and what influences them. Let me say it again. You're responsible, parents. You cannot say, well, the TV did this, or I don't know why my kid did that. Guess what? Garbage in, garbage out. You are responsible. Don't lie to yourself and say you have no control. You determine the behavior that is acceptable in your home. You determine the discipline that is necessary. You determine whether they play video games or they're on social media or if they play sports. You determine whether they have a phone or not. Some of you act as though you can't take your kid's phone. That's ridiculous. Why do they even have a phone, by the way? That's all right. No, not going down. Just so you know, You determine the clothes they wear and the car they drive. You don't like their clothes? You're the parent. You determine how you will allow them to talk to you. Let me say that again. You determine how you will allow them to speak to you. You're the parent. I know these are just mind-blowing ideas. I apologize. And if you're watching by television, listen, if you're watching by television and you think I'm crazy, you know, just a little wisdom here. Just a little wisdom. You determine what your children will be taught. I want to spend a little moment here because this seems to be the cultural craziness of today. Parents, you determine what your children will be taught. Let me say that again. You determine what you will allow your children to be taught. No, let me rephrase. You are responsible for what you allow your children to be taught. You are responsible. You cannot blame that on anyone else. The public school is not your authority on what children should learn. You are. You are responsible. Stop buying this because you need free daycare. This is a lie. Stop granting authority to those who have a philosophy in opposition to what is wise and what is true. Now listen, I know there's a lot of public school teachers in the room today, and I want you to know you're on the front lines of the mission field. I know that you are there, but you have to admit that the school districts are in opposition of everything that is right and true and holy. It's not science or English that kills us. It's where they teach all other garbage. And parents, you have to decide if you're going to allow that to happen, because you're going to be responsible. You make that decision. You cannot be bullied into anything else. You're going to find out why in just a minute. Listen, children are not a social experiment in stupidity. Let me phrase that again. Your kids are not a social experiment in stupidity. You can say, no, I refuse to be a part of that. They are God's gift to you. Notice what I said. They are God's gift to you. They are on loan. They've been handed to you with the responsibility that you will take what the giver wants and impart that truth on their life. That's your role. That's what we do. This is obvious. You are the parent. Why? Because our children are our future. They're your future, and they're part of God's future, and they play a critical role. We play a critical role in their calling, in what God has for them. And if we don't believe this, and we don't buy this, and we don't grab this, we foolishly ruin our own life. You are the parent. This seems obvious. But these complexities and all these things our kids are bombarded with somehow seem to rule the day. They somehow seem to control us because we forget one simple truth, that we as parents are responsible for teaching and training, like I just said. Teaching and training our children in what God would have them to learn. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 says this, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Let me tell you something. What profit will it be for you if your child becomes a rocket scientist but hates God and wants nothing to do with him? What if he has the greatest education in all the world but yet has nothing to do with God? I want you to know that is in your biblically mind an absolute failure in what our role is as parents. Notice, as I said, biblical teaching and training. Biblical teaching is to instruct as early in life as possible the knowledge and, by the way, the heart of God. Let me say it again, the knowledge and the heart of God. Our teaching must start with the knowledge of God. Biblical training is to make proficient, to drill, or to practice and to apply the wisdom and the heart of God to our everyday lives. We're teaching them, we're imparting the information, But then we are drilling, we are living, we are practicing what that means in our lives. This is what parents do. They're teaching and they're training their kids in what it means to be Christ-centered world changers. This is what we're called to do. This is what we are supposed to do. Wisdom is all about this. Proverbs 22, 6, famous passage. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some say, well, that's not always the truth. And we can have a whole other argument about that. But it's in the Bible for a reason. Because it means something. It's a calling for us as parents to train our child in the way they should go. Notice it didn't say this, train them up in Bible verses. Notice it didn't say train them up in Bible stories, Bible characters, Bible history. Notice it didn't say train them up to go to church. Notice it didn't say those things. It said train them up in the way they should live their life for Christ. We could add that to it. Obviously, right? Some are saying, I'm sure there are some because I was here. I don't know what that means. Matter of fact, I don't even know what that looks like. I mean, how do I teach my child love, respect, obedience to his creator and his commands? I mean, that's my highest priority. How do I do that? How do I teach them to honor and obey me? How do I teach them to love their siblings and others? You see, this is our highest priority, and yet oftentimes we don't really know how to do that. And if we really looked at our lives, we do the opposite. We teach them everything else that doesn't matter, and we spend a lot of time doing it. Now, some of the kids in here are going to be celebrating in just a second. Parents, I want you to know some things that we spend all of our time doing, and really there is nothing in the Bible about it. There is no biblical rule that your child is commanded to clean his room. The idea that cleanliness is next to godliness is not in the Bible. There is no biblical command that a child should eat everything on his plate. There is no biblical command that he should brush his teeth. Yeah. I love it. There is no biblical command he should make his bed before he leaves. There is no biblical command. Man, all you kids are like, what else is not in there? Listen. The list goes on and on and on. Goes on and on. We spend so much time teaching our training and training our children to do things that we have societally, traditionally created as valuable, which, by the way, all those things are good. Nobody wants to be married to that guy who doesn't do that stuff. Okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our time. We spend our time doing other things. We spend 99% of our lives teaching them things that aren't even necessarily in the Bible. And we can kind of twist it and make it work where it's like, hey, you're learning authority and obeying me. And yes, we can make that argument. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But the truth is this. It's just not there. Why do we want to teach these things? Why is it that this is how we make the complex simple? Why am I telling you these things? Because I believe all those things will take their place. If you're fighting with your child over making his bed, the issue is not the bed making. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Why do we do these things? Why do we make them complex? Because a child who loves God, listen to me, a child who loves God and loves God's commands will honor his parents. Let me say that again. If you're having trouble with obedience, teach your child to love God and his commands. Don't teach your child what you're commanding. Because when you get to the heart, the command is easy. The burden is simple because the heart of a child has been changed. Proverbs 23, 24 says this, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who follows a wise son will be glad in him. Do you hear me? We need to parent the right things and we will get the right results. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's simple. So So my wife and I sat down and I started writing, hey, what are some of the things that every parent should just focus that should be a higher priority than anything? I want you to know, I truly believe this, and so don't stone me. These things are more important than anything your child does. If they do not know these things and you are not actively working on these things, get them out of whatever they are doing. Because this is important. Now you might say, hey, I can still do both, and great. I'm not saying you're gonna ruin your child's life. I'm just saying your eternal mindset should be around these kinds of things. I'm gonna give you 12, one for every month. Or one you just go through constantly. And these things are for every, pretty much just so you know, every relationship, just not a parenting situation. But parents, listen to me. If you're not actively doing this, if you're spending more time trying to get your kid to make his bed than you are these things, you might want to just reconsider. So let's go through them quickly because I know we don't have much time. Here we go. This is great. Slide number one, teach and train your children to love God with all their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Of course, we said this already, right? We've already talked about this. This should be your highest priority as a parent. Every thought, every decision in life should go through this filter. Everything that they do should go through the filter of how am I teaching my children through this experience, whether it's sports, whether it's school, whether it's relationships, how do I teach my children that God is the most important thing in their life? This is fundamental. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the table of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean into your own understanding. What are we teaching our children? This is what we're teaching them. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Son, listen to me. Acknowledge God in this moment. Is this the right thing for you to do? Is this good? Is this healthy? Is this prosperous? Be not wise in your own eyes, son. Parents, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you can get away with doing something that God does not say in a way to raise your children and expect it to turn out good. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Parents, do you hear me? When we teach our kids to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, it transforms our homes. Another one is this, teach and train your children to put nothing before God. You're gonna notice that these are very similar to the Ten Commandments, by the way. Teach or train your children to put nothing before God. If you haven't taught this, if you're not speaking this through everything that they love and know, you are going to have trouble. If you do not know what your kids' idols are, if you don't know what they are, open your eyes. Pay attention. If you're unsure, simply start taking away material things and see how they react. You want to know what your kids' idols are? Start taking their clothes, start taking their music, throw their television away, destroy their game console. You just start ripping it out of their life. Guess what you're going to find? You're gonna find a God, and he's in the way. Because he's more important than the God. Parents, maybe you should do that to your own life. Maybe you should look at what you value. What is interfering with you being the man and the woman that God has called you to be? Church, it's obvious. We just don't want to hear it. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters for either. He will either hate the one and love the other or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and it says money, but you cannot serve God and anything else. It is not God plus, it is God alone. Teach and train your children to respect and honor the name of the Lord. If you're not actively doing this, I would encourage you to do so. Our kids should not be afraid to call themselves Christ followers. They should not be afraid of the Lord's name, and they shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. Jesus has placed them in this time in history to not be Christ deniers, but Christ embracers. When we say take the Lord's name in vain, sometimes we think it's cursing, but I want you to know it's how we live our life. If we deny Christ, we take his name in vain. Matthew 10:33 says, whosoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father. We want to teach our children, be bold, stand forth. If you are a follower of Christ, do not back down. Do not deny his name. Do not take it in vain. Your God is with you. Teach and train your children to rest and respond and spend time in a relationship with the Lord. How much time do you actually spend teaching your children to spend time with God on a personal level? You're like, I have little kids. Guess what? Do it with them. Do it with them. Lead by example. This requires you and I to engage in prayer with them, studying the Word, a quiet time with the Lord. Listen, when we were younger, the way we did our children is we had prayer time at the end of every single day. We're going to get together and we're going to spend some time with the Lord. We're going to talk about life. We're going to engage with one another. You can do it any way that you want, but you need to understand this. This quiet time gives your children rest and peace. It gives your children confidence in who they are and confidence in the family unit. Matthew 11:28 says this about Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what time does with God. Your kid's stressed out. They're on every other drug under the sun. Can't figure out how to get control. Spend time teaching them the Word of God. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am glad and gentle, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen to me. Remember when I said your life is complex? And Christ's wisdom is simple. This is the truth. His burden is light. It's fundamentals that we miss. Teach and train your children to honor authority. It's fundamental. The love of authority is the best taught by example from our parents, not forced on them. Do you realize your best way to teach authority is your example as a parent and how you submit to the Lord? You can talk to your child about his disobeying you when you can talk to him about your submission to who God is. When you say, listen, I don't do things that I want to do because I love God, you can say, hey, son, daughter, listen, the reason why you're going to submit to me is because it's a picture of how we submit to the Lord. And once you learn submission, once a kid understands that obedience is the right way, guess what? Life is so much simpler. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. 6, teach and train your children to play with others, to play well with others. Wouldn't that be great if you didn't go get your kids that are going to be in the nursery, and since I'm going late, they're going to be going crazy? And you're like, did you play well with others? And the person's going, no. What does it mean? Teach them to control their emotions. Don't sit there and watch them have a meltdown. I watched this the other day in the mall. I just thought to myself, what is that parent doing? Never tolerate your children to fight, bicker, defame, degrade one another in the car or in the house. Listen, teach your children to control themselves. You want to have control? Teach control. You have control. Act like it. Don't lose control. Be in control. Amen. Be in control. Don't allow anger to ever rule over them or you. You're the parent. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Son, guess what? You can be as nice as you want to be. You can be as loving as you want to be. You can be as kind as, man, you can't be kind enough. Man, you want to clean your brother's room? Man, do that and do your sister's too. Church, listen to me. Teach and train your children to resist lust. This is a war that's destroying us. Teach and train your children to resist lust. If you're not talking about what they're facing, you're a fool. Internet pornography and what they're hearing at school in the second, third, fourth grade, and even in kindergarten now, will blow your mind. Stop having your head in the sand. Teach and train your children. Resisting lust starts by understanding the omnipresence of God. How do I teach my child to understand this? Teach him that God is with him all the time and he sees everything he sees. He hears everything you hear. And he's keeping track of you. Listen, when we teach our children that, when we understand that, it changes who we are. Proverbs 22:1, teach him this when it comes to this idea of what it looks like to control. A good name is worth to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Listen, when you teach your child his name is valuable and that God is watching, it's amazing what a child will not do because he does not want his name to be hurt and he does not want to displease God. But when we don't ever talk about it, it never happens. Next, teach and train your children not to steal. Seems obvious, right, parents? And yet I watch kids steal toys from each kid all the time. I have 10 grandkids. We witness it every day. Teach your children not to steal. It starts very young. Taking toys, taking money, taking something that does not belong to them. It should not be tolerated. And don't use it as an opportunity, parents, to teach the other child grace. I see this all the time. Kids steal something right out of a sibling's hand and it's like, well, we need to learn how to be sharing. No, the kid just stole it right out of my hands. We can have that conversation later, but in this moment, it's about taking something. Parents, we have to teach this. Listen, Proverbs 10:2, I love wisdom. Here we go. Treasure gained by wickedness does not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Did you ever notice what happens after they steal the toy? They immediately get distracted with another toy and they drop it. Because that didn't bring satisfaction. That's the moment of teaching, parents. It's the moment of simple wisdom. Teach and train your children to be honest. Don't tolerate lying, speaking falsely of others. Don't allow your kids to lie about their siblings. It starts in the home. We want to have kids who have integrity. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Why? 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 This is what we want to teach. Teach and train your children to work hard and not to covet. To work hard, not to covet. Don't compare. Motivated by greed, lust, approval, performance. Don't teach discontentment. Proverbs 21:25, sorry, here we go. A desire of the struggling, or the sluggard, kills him. The desires of the slugger kills him, for his hand refuses to labor. All the day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. Does not hold back. Church, the last two are powerful. Teach and train your children to love the family of God and others. You want to have the complex simple? Teach them to love others. A new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The complex simple. And lastly, teach and train your children to be generous. Proverbs 11:24 says this, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whosoever brings blessing will be enriched, but the one who waters will himself be watered. Church, listen. Parenting. It's obvious. Now, I know I went long today, and I want you to know I'm not apologizing one bit. My wife and I were in this series, and we thought we should have created a series out of this. But listen to me. If we don't take serious the next generation and how we're training them to love God by us living and loving God, we are fooling ourselves to believe that the end will be any different than the current. It's going to require us to reevaluate our lives, parents. It's not too late. Your kids are not too old. You could start sharing and imparting these truths right now. Why? Because it's obvious. It's obviously going to make the complex simple. It's obviously going to change your mind, change their mind. But it does require us to change our mind, change our priorities, our values, our time management. It's going to require us to change our structure or even our heart. It's going to require something. There's no shortcut. You see, wisdom is calling you. She's begging you to heed her reproof. She's begging you to ask in faith, will you listen? Will you heed? Will you hear? That's the question. That's the question. Church, take these principles to every relationship that you have, because this is your calling. It will make a difference in the complexities of your family life. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, I want you to know something. That this truth that I shared, these obvious things that some of us think are obvious, even though the world has clouded them into they're not obvious, Lord, these come from someone in some place, and that is from the Creator God who created you, who gave you an opportunity to be in a relationship with him, but we failed him and we ran from him. But he sent his son Jesus to come and die for you and for me. He sent his son Jesus so that you could be in a relationship with him, that you could know his wisdom and you could have his spirit indwelling in you, which gives you the power to accomplish the things that seem impossible that I've mentioned. And it only requires this, that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. It requires you to confess your sin, because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And I pray today that you would commit your life to him and that he would transform your life. But church, we truly need to ask ourselves about being parents. It's prayer time. Let's stand to our feet. For you who are new to the service, I just want you to know what's going to happen. We're going to spend a moment praying. I want you to know what I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for my kids to be great parents. I'm going to be praying for our parents in our church to be great parents. I'm going to be praying for grandparents. I hope that you will join me as they play and as they sing, because we need to do something, because as we heard in Timothy, the outlook is not good. So will you join me, parents? Will you join me right here to commit yourself to the obvious? Let's pray.